Foot Clan, August is almost here. Drafts are almost here. So right now you need to head to ultimatedraftkit.com and check out the number one tool to get you ready for draft day. You have to be primed and ready.
I'm doing it right now. I'm doing
Mike,
it right now.
That is a wise decision, Mike. We also have the UDK Plus this year.
Were I was you- already doing it. I did it before Mike.
Okay. It's a competition. Well, if you're listening, try to beat everybody else that's listening and go get the Ultimate Draft Kit or the Ultimate Draft Kit Plus that comes with the Draft Analyzer. We'll grade your team. We'll give you an action report so you can make it better throughout the year. You set the foundation for your team right now. UltimateDraftKit.com.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh. Hey! None of that. It's football time, baby.
I know it is football time. Welcome in, Andy, Mike, and Jason, the Fantasy Footballers. Yeah, we're back. Turns out there were contractual obligations. We tried to just shut it all down.
Yeah.
But, you know, the lawyer said no. And here we are. Thursday, July 22nd, another Divisional Breakdown show. Thank you for coming along for the ride with our beloved Phoenix Suns. It came to an end last night. It's been difficult. I tweeted yesterday that sports gives and sports takes. And last night it took from my family. My boys were crying. They were sad. But congratulations to the Bucks fans. You guys have been good sports.
That Giannis guy is...
Yeah.
He's huge.
He's very good at basketball.
He's gigantic.
That's Giannis ought to be illegal?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's how you pronounce it.
Yeah. So, but no, it was tough, but that's the way it goes. Now, we all experienced the Cardinals losing the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Santonio Holmes, last second catch. And
catch. Air quotes. Right. Did not get that second foot down.
But, you know, in some ways, this was worse for me.
Really?
Yeah. The 2-0 lead in the series.
This was way worse.
And my children being so invested. And, you know, I told them last night, I said there are a lot of dads and their kids in Milwaukee that are celebrating. And it did make it better for them to know that. And to see Giannis, who is a great guy, like celebrate. But
the only
was very
thing,
tough.
The only thing that gave me solace, and I'm sure everyone's super excited now that basketball's over and it's just football from here on out. The only thing that gave me solace was watching the 65,000 people outside the stadium. Because I was like, I could see
that
their
was
joy.
Wild.
And I was like,
all
that's
that
awesome.
COVID would have gone to waste. If they were...
I know. It's got to be worth
it. Stay safe
something.
Out there, people.
All right. Buy or sell. Some news to talk about, big news that we haven't had a chance to speak on quite yet. So we'll talk about Cam Akers. The NFC West happened to be today's divisional breakdown. So that just worked out. We'll be diving deep on the Rams and the rest of the NFC West and talking about the fantasy outlook for those teams. I do want to remind you, we're giving away a signed Antonio Gibson helmet right now at footclangiveaway.com. So you can go check that out. Enter for free.
Yep.
And, you know, Antonio Gibson's a very popular fellow in fantasy football world.
He's great.
And in Mike's world.
He's my champion.
It's interesting because you once had RG3 as your champion years ago.
That yes.
He led you to a title.
Yes, he did.
For the for Washington.
Yeah, and I've had Terry McLaurin on my dynasty team for a while. And
so maybe you just like burgundy.
I do. The burgundy is a great color. My high school colors were burgundy and forest green.
Uh-huh.
But somebody did tweet at me the other day, and they're like, Mike, just admit you are clearly a closet Washington football team fan with Gibson, McLaurin, Fitzpatrick. I'm like, I have said this on the show many times.
There is no closet here.
Yeah, I'm out telling people I like the Washington football team. I think they will win the division.
You like them, and then they added the quarterback that you
yes.
most resemble.
Yes.
So,
and which so weird, he's also the sexiest quarterback in the football.
In the football.
I was going to go in the NFL, and then for some reason I switched at the last second.
Pro Football Center. YouTube.com/TheFantasyFootballers If you want to watch the show, subscribe, click the bell.
A dude who looks like the sexiest quarterback in football is on the YouTube.
Okay, there you go. Instagram.com/FantasyFootballers Twitter at the FF Ballers, and I mentioned it at the top, but you can get the ultimate draft kit. This is go time. You're priming up. Drafts are coming soon. We were mapping out all the August shows, which August will be jam-packed. 5 days a week, MVP episode, sleepers, breakouts, busts, and values.
All our deep dive rankings.
It's My Guys episodes, ooh, bold predictions episode. Brooks, are you even are you ready for this?
You can't be.
You can't be ready.
Yeah, that's
even after all these years.
Nope.
No, you can't be ready. It just happens. And
it's like a big wave that just it rushes over you.
Oh yeah. Be
and,
there.
And one more thing I'll say about the UDK. We all love magazines. Sometimes, you know, it's nice to sit down. You get that the feeling of the magazine. If your magazine's talking about Cam Akers and was not updated immediately, you have bad information.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part of print.
Yeah.
You know? You can't fix that. But we did make our adjustments, and we'll talk about that shortly in the news. Let's do some buy-sell first.
Buy or sell, presented by Pristine Auction.
I just got the mental picture of what August is like for Brooks. You guys remember when we did a live show?
Yeah.
In Los Angeles?
Mm-hmm.
And Brooks wanted to, we played a little football with Brooks in the ocean.
Yeah.
And then you remember what happened to Brooks when that wave came? And
oh, those, yeah. Yeah, it took him out.
And where are those sunglasses, Brooks?
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Mr.
Yeah.
Pacific has them.
Yes. All right, buy or sell at least one rookie quarterback will finish as a top 15 fantasy quarterback in 2021.
Man.
One rookie quarterback as a top 15 fantasy quarterback. Over the last 8 years, only four rookie quarterbacks have finished as top 15 quarterbacks. However, and that was Jameis Winston, Dak, Kyler, and Justin Herbert last year. We have had three of the last 5 years and the last 2 years. So it has become far more frequent. Part of this is just teams are willing to put those guys out there in week one. And what do you think? I mean, you have Trevor Lawrence this year. Mike, you've been very high on Trey Lance if he gets the opportunity.
Yes.
And then we're big fans of Justin Fields, but it doesn't, you know.
Also, there was a quarterback drafted at number two. Overall, who's going to be starting week one? Zach Wilson.
It is funny how little publicity Zach Wilson gets. I'm sure in New York they talk about him a lot because he's the quarterback there. But like for fantasy, we talk about all the other guys. Even Mac Jones gets a little bit more conversation than Zach Wilson. But I'll say this: this is a home run buy to me. And while my current rankings do not have a quarterback in the top 15, if you're going to tell me that I have this year this many options for someone to hit, I might not say that they're
Lawrence,
obvious.
Wilson, Lance, Jones, Fields.
Exactly. And as of right now, I don't have Lance projected as the starter, but I do still think that Lance will start week one and Jimmy Garoppolo won't be on the roster. Obviously, that's not how it is right now. So Garoppolo is statted out. But if that changes, we know from history that mobile quarterbacks in their rookie season can have great fantasy production. So I'm going to buy this one.
Even if it took 3 or 4, 5 weeks, Lance could put up enough numbers.
Yes, he could.
As a mobile quarterback. I don't expect Justin Fields to get enough starts to do this. I don't expect Mac Jones right now to get enough starts to do this. But I think I don't need them. I think that Trevor Lawrence will do it. I think he'll get inside the top 15, so I will buy.
Yeah, and the fact that you have so many options this year, and they're all, I mean, Mac Jones isn't known for his prolific rushing yardage, but all the other guys can move. And I mean, Trevor Lawrence is not a slouch. Like, he gets overlooked when you're talking about mobility, when you're, you know, putting him head-to-head with Trey Lance, who rushed for 1,000 yards as a starting quarterback in college, and Justin Fields. But Lawrence can move, and he will absolutely move, kind of like the almost like a Joe Burrow.
He had 563 rushing yards during his last full collegiate season.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I'm guessing is that more than Justin Fields? I don't know if Justin Fields hit 550 yards.
I believe it's right around the same.
You can bet it. So, yes, top 15? Yeah, I'll buy
484. Yeah. So he outran
how many games though?
14 versus 15.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I'll buy the probability that one of those guys will sneak into the top 15.
Triple buy?
Triple buy pass is what they say I'm going to need soon. thank you, cheeseburgers.
My gosh.
Now, real quick, before we leave this topic, which rookie quarterback are you willing to then, if we're all buying, which one are you actually willing to take a shot on and draft them where they're going in drafts right now?
Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, that makes sense for you. You have Trevor Lawrence as the quarterback 14 right now, statted in these top 15s, and he's a 10th round pick.
That's good to know. I hadn't checked, so that's good.
For me, it would still be Trey Lance. I'm willing to take my last pick, even if I don't usually draft two quarterbacks in a single quarterback league, but instead of taking a flyer on some rando, wide receiver who didn't do anything last year but maybe has a chance, I'm fine taking Trey Lance with my last pick.
Yeah, I'm with that approach, but if I got to go one, I mean, you have to bet on Trevor Lawrence, unless, like Jason is talking about, somehow before week one happens.
If we know,
and
Trey Lance
is the start, then it's easily Trey Lance for me.
Let's stay there for one more second, Mike. What happens if he's not the starter in week one, but you know what you could get if he becomes the starter? How hard is it to take him late and actually stash a player like Lance, because how many weeks do you hold him before you need that roster spot? Like, is that worth it to you? If Jimmy Garoppolo clearly wins the job, would you still draft Trey Lance?
Yes, I'm still willing to do it. Your flyer that you draft there, you aren't starting them week one. Like, your last round pick or your last positional player, they're not in your starting roster for week one. It's a wait and see type of a thing. So if they come out week one, and I'm not projecting this, but we're talking about hypotheticals. If they come out and lay an egg against the Detroit Lions in week one.
Not bloody likely.
Of course it's not likely, but weird things happen in the NFL, man. And then I think their bye week is like week five or so. So I don't mind at all grabbing Trey Lance and seeing what happens at week one. And if Garoppolo comes out, plays amazing, and you're like,
yeah, just
after
cut
week,
him.
So after week one, they're like, oh, San Francisco's going back to the Super Bowl, then okay, I'll move on.
Yeah, I'm not willing to hold on to Lance, even though I said I would draft him with my last pick. I'm not drafting him so that I get him in week five. I'll pay up off the waiver wire when that transition is made. I'm grabbing him in hopes that something happens prior to the season.
Yeah, and I think the odds of Lance becoming an instant fantasy star, if starting, are very high, whereas Justin Fields, when he takes over, there's really no guarantee that this guy is going to have enough opportunities, doesn't run enough to where you could say overnight he's necessarily the starter with the identity of that team. So I definitely wouldn't draft Fields to hold him in hope. But I would do that. I would consider that with Lance if it was ambiguous going into the season as to who's the better quarterback.
To be fair, I think I saw a quote from a great friend of the show, Kyle Juszczyk.
Yes.
Who... he was saying
he could just call us and let us know who's starting.
He could, but I mean, he went on.
You hear that, Kyle?
He went somewhere else and was talking about his team.
Huh.
I mean, it's pretty selfish of great.
I thought
we
were his primary way of getting information to the media.
But essentially, he was casting his. He doesn't know for sure because the team's not telling people. But he thinks that as long as Garoppolo is there and playing adequately, he's going to remain the guy. That's what Kyle thinks right now.
That's why I'm at with Trey Lance. I've not for a moment thought he's a better pickup than Lawrence, but only because of that. And I think Chicago will stick with Andy Dalton for as long as possible. Jason, you are smirking and smiling and shaking your head.
I was, and we already said this, but it just makes me laugh again to realize
your
all this
bypass joke.
No, that was fantastic. All this conversation about whether you would pick up and stash Lance or whether it's worth doing that with Fields, and we know Zach Wilson's a week one starter. Like he is absolutely 100% already starting week one is like, eh.
Yeah, and that team.
No, thank you.
That team picked Zach Wilson over Justin Fields, over Trey Lance, over Mac Jones.
Yeah, I mean, it's
he had 10 rushing touchdowns in college.
Yeah.
Wears a sick headband.
Yeah, what post-puberty, I'll think about.
Right. A couple of years. Six, 7 years.
Is he allowed to drive yet?
No, but he can ride shotgun. He's allowed in the front seat.
doesn't need a booster.
I didn't mean to dig this deep.
Sorry, Zach.
That was Buy or Sell from Pristine Auction.
He's just very youthful.
He is a youthful man, and we're jealous. That's what it is.
Yeah, I'd die for that skin.
Right. PristineAuction.com. Use the code BALLERS. Get a $10 credit. We do have huge news to talk about.
News and notes from around the league. Presented by Sleeper.
And this show is going to be long, just for the record.
Great.
The humongous, huge news that broke, Cam Akers.
Yep, here we go.
Ruptured Achilles. Will be out for the entire 2021 season. Absolutely devastating news for Cam Akers. I love that kid. I think he is so talented. And unfortunately, you know, the questions abound now of not only what happens this year for the Rams, but what is the future for Cam Akers? So many players invested in him for dynasty leagues, looking towards the future. And unfortunately, a ruptured Achilles is a very, very difficult injury to recover from. We'll get a glance at Marlon Mack coming back from a ruptured Achilles this year, but it has not been a historically easy thing to get over.
Is there a single example of a running back who came back strong?
The only one that I can think of that I thought looked okay on the field, and you would probably argue this as a against point, but when Arian Foster came back for 7-8 games with Miami later in his career, he did seem to have something there.
But he didn't even finish that season, did he?
I know. No, they cut him.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's usually a strike. But that's your best example.
I can't think of one. I mean, and he is super young.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at, a lot of people tweeting out all the...
Does Kevin Durant count?
All of the...
No, but okay. I mean, Demaryius Thomas, I believe, had a torn Achilles.
Yeah.
And he was, but that's a different position. I mean, running backs, Ryan Williams, second-round pick of the Arizona Cardinals, was hopeful, and he tore his rookie season, preseason, essentially never played. Jason, who was Deontay Foreman?
Yeah, I loved Deontay Foreman.
Looked like he might have been about to break out for the Houston Texans, tears his Achilles, and I know he's back in the league, but...
Yeah, irrelevant. The question I think people need to have before
Mikal LeSure from Detroit.
Yeah.
Before we talk about Darnell Anderson and the real fantasy important redraft player here, sticking with Cam Akers for the dynasty outlook, the long term outlook, it is bleak. It is one of those where for him to not only just come back, but come back and be good enough in a role given to him to be fantasy relevant and important, that is a lot of things have to happen.
Very long odds.
And this is a guy that still has a lot of youth and hype. If I had Cam Akers, I would be devastated, but I would also be looking to move him.
Been a question people want to know. Do you go buy low on a young Cam Akers because people are trying to move him?
I would not be buying low unless low is like a next year's third round pick. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I view those as
22
as garbage
years old
anyways, but Trey Sermon, I've seen that trade out there. Would you trade Cam Akers for Trey Sermon? I would that in a heartbeat.
Oh yeah, I would do the trade. Yeah, I wouldn't.
So if you've got him, I would look to try to capitalize and get something of value. Now let's talk about the Rams outlook this season.
So are you speaking of Darnell Anderson.
Daryl Henderson. Please earn a new nickname.
Right, yeah. You have one chance this year, Daryl, to get a new nickname.
Daryl?
Daryl. If you're new to
how
the...
How dare you be named
Daryl?
No,
that was a play on the zombie show. Yeah. Walking Dead, right?
Carl.
Oh, no, that's Carl. Never mind. His nickname's Carl. Is that the kind of nickname
Carl
you want?
Carl Anderson.
Dang it.
Yes. Well, if you're new,
there
for
is
some
a Daryl
reason,
on that show.
I don't remember how it came about, but Daryl Henderson years ago became Darnell Anderson, and it's my favorite nickname that
and
we've
Mike's
ever given
least
someone.
Favorite
Mike's
nickname.
Least favorite, because for the same exact reason, because it's not a nickname. It's a different name.
It's the man. So, the man has a name.
Yes. Anyways, his outlook this season, I think I'm the most bullish right now, statistically speaking, on him. I think he's going to have a very strong season. Top 20 back for sure is the way that I look at it.
He leaves. Okay, go ahead. Sorry,
I don't think he has a lot of optimism for top 10. So he, to me, is that 10 to 20 really solid, very important fantasy option that I think will get enough work and a great offense. He is not built for a massive workload. He's not a guy that I think is going to touch the ball 20 times a game. He was 205 pounds coming out of college. He weighs more now. But I do think the team is committed to him and their current roster.
I agree with the current roster part, but clearly the Rams don't view him as a workhorse back, period. I mean, you don't have Daryl Henderson on the roster. And
who was a third-round pick.
Who was a third-round pick at the time, and then go draft Cam Akers if you view Daryl Henderson as a workhorse back. So I think you're right. I think I have him at 24. I think he will compete week to week for fantasy relevance. The team has come out and said, I don't know that the veteran route, so the Adrian Petersons or the, you know, Todd Gurley was
Duke
completely
Johnson.
Ruled out. Duke Johnson is one. Lev Bell's one. But this says it's not something they're looking at right now.
Yeah, right now. We're like 24 hours or 48 hours past the injury.
The way that I read that, just to, since we're saying the right now thing, I think that they are open to players who are cut, who are not currently free agents later in this offseason. I think they don't like the current market right now, and that makes sense.
There's also, if you're looking at a deeper dynasty pickup, Xavier Jones is worth a pickup. Last offseason, he flashed, played special teams last year, scored 25 touchdowns in his senior season from SMU.
Yeah, he actually has a college profile where people are – and Xavier Jones was an undrafted free agent from last year. I agree. If you're taking a shot on one of the Rams' backups, because there are – draft Twitter is going crazy for Jake Funk. And as much as it
I mean, that would be good for the show.
As much as that would be really fun to have We Want the Funk out there on the football field doing things.
That would be fun.
That would be really important
to
me.
He was a seventh-round pick, and his college profile isn't as strong.
Yeah, I think Xavier Jones is the pickup, and I think that the team showed last year, even with Cam Akers on the roster, with Daryl Henderson, with Malcolm Brown, that the likelihood of one Todd Gurley-esque days of old workhorse is not high. However, they did bring in, if you remember, they brought in C.J. Anderson at the end of
his
career.
That's what I was going to bring up.
A few years ago, and produced in this offense. This is a good offense. They will put the running backs into a position to succeed. Daryl Henderson had many relevant fantasy weeks last year in the games where he had enough work. So, yeah, I mean, take a look at our rankings on the website. We have him as an RB2.
And right now, the RB2 is simply confidence based for this moment in time where we are right now. I am on the side of I think they're going to add somebody, and I don't know the level of competition they're going to add for Henderson. Are they going to trade for somebody? Are they going to just pick up a backup who gets cut so that you bolster the roster a little bit? But if Henderson is the guy, and Henderson, if he hits this year for fantasy football, if Rams running back for Sean McVay is fantastic. You had C.J. Anderson, who was what we didn't know at the time, but the dude was on fumes for his career, and he was awesome for fantasy football.
It was hard last year because, if you remember, we started the season. We had hopes for the Rams backfield, and then those got stifled by, oh, crap, Malcolm Brown comes in and scores touchdowns.
And on top of that, just a bunch of injuries. Like, Henderson has had an injury problem his entire professional career, so the team's belief in Henderson might not even be talent related. It might be just what they see. They're like, this guy just gets hurt all the time, and we're not going to count.
Yeah, he's not built for it. And like Andy said, they used Malcolm Brown last year during that stretch when Cam went down and then was slowly brought back the beginning parts of the season. It's worth noting that, you know, 5 out of the 6 weeks that stretch, Daryl Henderson was a top 24 back.
Yes,
3 of the 6 weeks he was a top 12 back. He can produce in this offense. I think he will be good, and their options, if they're not after current free agents, it's either grab a guy who's cut, which there's always a good player or two that's cut, but obviously they're cut, so they're not great, or trade for someone. But keep in mind, The Rams have very little ammunition since they have traded all their future picks
away.
No,
but they could add like a Mark Ingram if he doesn't make the roster in Houston or
exactly.
something like
so,
that.
So Daryl Henderson season.
That was today's news and notes brought to you by Sleeper. Switch your league to the fastest growing fantasy platform today. Unfortunately, this first big injury really shows that we're almost there for the season, because when they get into training camp, you know, this is the worst part of NFL and fantasy fandom, is that inevitably it's a physical sport and mm-hmm. and people go down, and we'll be there with fantasy perspective.
Yeah. Before we switch gears to the Seattle Seahawks, want to thank today's sponsor, Helix Sleep. People, we spend our entire lives sleeping every single day.
I love sleeping.
I love sleeping. But how good is your sleep? How comfortable? And here's the thing. Maybe you have a mattress that's okay, and you're like, I sleep okay. Do you sleep awesome? We have a family cabin, and I replaced it with a Helix mattress up there.
The whole cabin?
And yes, I replaced the cabin with a mattress. It's just a mattress out in the woods. No, but we replaced the main mattress
rains?
With a Helix mattress pad, and literally, my sister was texting me today, like, can I please go up there sleep? Something happens to me up there. My dad was staying. Like, that mattress is legit. It is awesome. We have all received a Helix mm-hmm. mattress. We've taken the test. It's super awesome. You can take a quiz, and it'll match you with your perfect mattress. And I was curious. I was like, do you take this, then you end up with the same mattress every time? All three of us had completely different mattresses.
Yes.
I absolutely love the one that
I actually
have.
Got a cabin.
Man, that's an option. Helix cabins.
It sleeps a little rough.
But yeah, if you want soft, if you want firm, medium, whatever, it for you and your partner, it's great. And it is literally the number one best overall mattress pick by GQ. They are offering up to $200 off all mattresses and two free pillows for the Foot Clan. Go to helixsleep.com/footballers. That's helixsleep.com/footballers for up to $200 off and two free pillows.
Let's get divisional.
All right, we're in the NFC West. The Seahawks last year 12-4. They went 8-3 in one score games, which Russell Wilson is the master of. Has the highest percentage of success in one score games of any quarterback that is currently active. And look, nobody wants to be on the other side of Russell Wilson at the end of a close game. He is a closer. All right, Vegas has their projected win total for the upcoming year at, what do you think?
I would guess 11.
I would take the end. I'd probably say that I'd hedge and go the 10.5.
Yeah.
10. 10 is where it's at. Oh. They were 9.5 early in the offseason. It's gone up to 10. Last year they were 12-4, won the division, lost to the Rams in the wild card round, 8th in the NFL in points per game. It was a tale of two seasons for them. In weeks 1-9, they averaged 34 points a game and only had a couple of losses. Weeks 10-17, that dropped down 11 points per game down to 23. And, you know, part of the recipe for their success was, unfortunately for them, but great for fantasy, a really, really bad defense. They were on pace to allow the most yards and most passing yards in the history of the NFL.
That's bad.
Through the first 9 weeks. And that changed a little bit towards the back half of the year as well. So it was again, the story of like Russell Wilson surprises you with a very, you know, on first half, bad second half, bad first half, on second half. That was the story before, right? It was slow start, great finish
for
Russell Wilson.
Flopped. Yeah.
So, Pete Carroll still there, but Brian Schottenheimer is not. And
yeah,
that's been the storyline.
Brian Schottenheimer wanted to pass the ball too much, which, if you don't know much about Brian Schottenheimer, he loves to run the ball. And, you know, last year they had problems with Russ turning the ball over. I was surprised coming in preparation to remember that they won 12 games, because they did seem very human last year, very beatable. And Russell didn't play great that second half of the year. And so in this offseason, there was a conversation between Pete Carroll and Brian Schottenheimer about the direction that they were going to go. And they literally could not come to agreement on how the offense should run next year. And so they parted ways and replaced with a coach that will be a run-first coach.
And to your point, this was, you know, Brian Schottenheimer is known as a running coach.
Yes.
Now, the team last year statistically ended up very balanced. They're pretty much middle of the pack in pass attempts, rushing attempts, which you would think, okay, that's a nice step for this team. If you want to put more trust into Russell Wilson, your MVP, who was the unanimous NFL MVP through the first 9 weeks, but things really changed. Let's look at Russell Wilson, the fantasy option. Well, you kind of know what you're getting with Russ at this point in his career, which is a very, very efficient touchdown thrower. But do you want him on your team, Mike? He's a streaky quarterback. You can ride him to several victories in a row, but then if the team loses its way a little bit in the passing game, he can hurt you because you feel committed to start him.
Sure. I'm open to Russell Wilson. Right now I'm showing an ADP of like the middle of the sixth round. So I'm open to it.
If you had to lock a quarterback in for the whole year, Russell Wilson or Tom Brady, for every game, who would you lock in?
Tom Brady.
That's an easy Tom Brady for me.
Because
Brady's going a couple rounds behind Russ.
Even though end of season projections, I have Russell Wilson higher, but we've seen so much of his career is that very hot and cold, which, so if I have to lock in everything, I would go with Brady. But you got to leave room for Russell Wilson in that what happens when it clicks. Like, well, what happens if he stays hot for the whole season? He's put up a number one overall quarterback performance. He's never been outside of the top 12, as a fantasy quarterback. Like, he
accumulates stats that always put him there.
Yes.
But he is streaky.
He is definitely streaky. He is definitely streaky, but you should expect over 30 passing touchdowns from him. Like, those things are known. So it's much like Tyler Lockett right now. I don't want to, jump off the quarterback, but it's, you have to leave room for the what if. I don't think Russell Wilson is not being drafted like he's going to be dominant. You know, quarterback 7 off of the board right now. So he's at least interesting to me in the sixth round.
You're probably drafting him, though. Like, he's off my board. Like, if you had to name somebody that has no chance of being on my team, it's Russ in the sixth round. Because I can't draft a quarterback there that I'm not going to lock into my roster every week. And I wouldn't feel confident enough in Russell's history and the change in offensive coordinator where I'd be willing to do that.
100%. You're right. To illustrate the differences of what we saw last season, last year, you had Russell Wilson through the first 8 games on pace for 5,300 yards of 59.5 touchdowns on a 17-game pace. The second half was 3,500 yards and 25 touchdowns. Unbelievably good and horrifically bad. And if you look at what happened for the roster and what happened in the offseason, right before they made that switch in week 9, they had lost 3 of 4 games with Russ airing it out. And they change and they get back to running the ball, slowing the clock, playing better defense the second half of the season, and next thing you know, Russ stinks for fantasy, Tyler Lockett stinks for fantasy, DK Metcalf isn't as good. Now, if I have to bet whether or not they're going to suck or be good, I would bet that they're going to be good. But the team wants it to come a certain way, an old-school way, and I think that what we saw the second half of the year is closer to what we'll see this season than what we saw the first half of
there was controversy around Russ and his happiness there, and I would imagine that there was a meeting of the minds in some capacity of letting him at least cook a little bit. But let's talk about the running back position, because Chris Carson is so interesting. I don't think there's a better running back 2 you can have on your fantasy roster than Chris Carson, but I really, really think that's what he is. To me, it's you're going to the fine restaurant. You've got the chef's favorite you've had. It always fills you up. You're always happy with that choice. But it's not the same thing as taking the risk on the market-priced special, right? That could end up at the very top of the fantasy rankings. I don't think that's possible for Chris Carson. I think we've seen enough for enough years. I don't think top 10 is in his range of outcomes. I really don't. What do you guys think about Chris Carson? Last year, his opportunities went down. He's always been efficient, but does he really have top 10 upside?
Top 10 upside.
RB11 in 2019.
I think if you're talking about absolute ceiling, yeah, he does. Because if the touchdowns happen to come his way, we've seen his involvement in the receiving game, which is obviously huge for fantasy. And this is an offense that wants to get back to running the ball. I would add to that that you have Carlos Hyde, who is gone. And while Carlos Hyde is not someone you're like, oh my gosh, finally, right. He was annoying. He had a couple of games where Carlos Hyde was, in on drives where you'd expect to see Chris Carson. And with him gone, I think that moves the needle a little bit for me. Do I expect him to be top 10? No. I think he's a very safe RB2, very similar to Darrell Henderson in the range of outcomes for me. I don't think that either of those guys really slips past, a top 20 running back, but their ceilings are limited.
If knowing what you know now about the Rams backfield, Carson or Henderson on your roster?
I would take Henderson I think that with Henderson, the opportunity for the offense to just explode this year is greater for the Rams than for
I'm pretty firmly on the Carson side, Mike, so split the difference.
I would take the upside chance for Henderson.
All right, the wide receiver core, Mike, you mentioned Tyler Lockett. DK Metcalf was the headliner last season. The wide receiver 5 right now off the board. Third most routes run at the wide receiver position. Second most air yards. Came into the league with kind of a narrative. And the narrative was, well, he's big, fast, strong. He's going to run straight. He's going to catch deep passes. But they used him all over the field at different depths last year. Only 16% of the time in the slot, but he still ran a ton of short routes, had the most targets, 1 to 10 yards from the line of scrimmage, got the ball into his hands, let him begin the track meet on the outside at times. Sure. And where are you with Metcalf right now, knowing what you know about this offense and yet knowing what his ability is, right? Because the physical body, it screams wide receiver 1 potential.
Yeah, it does, and he should end up as a top 10 wide receiver. I don't have any problem with that. But in ADP wise, DK Metcalf is going right around that Calvin Ridley range. So DK Metcalf, just speaking from ADP, there is essentially 0% a 0% chance that he'll end up on my squad.
Because you'll never pass on Ridley for Metcalf.
Exactly. Meanwhile, if you're like I'm saying of leaving the options open or the possibility open for this team to be a more pass-friendly team than we're currently expecting, DK Metcalf is being thought of as it's locked. Like, he's going to be great. He's going to be fantastic. We're cashing those checks before we even receive them, and he's being drafted as the wide receiver 5. And he had the exact same fall-off in the second half of the season that Tyler Lockett had. And Tyler Lockett is paying the penalty for it. Like, Taylor Lockett's in the back of the fifth round. He's the wide receiver 24.
And I relate to that feeling. I think it's appropriate. Because I think Metcalf being as young as he is at 23 years old, the body of work we saw last year, and then the years and years of Lockett, I think that is appropriate. And last year, despite that season, Jason brings it up all the time, all wide receivers are inconsistent, right? Well, Metcalf was one of the most consistent from our consistency metrics, 68.8% of the time, a usable benchmark. I am very comfortable with Metcalf. I would probably bet on Metcalf hitting double-digit touchdowns above Ridley for sure.
Yeah, I lead far more with Mike here in the sense that I like Metcalf. I have him projected high. I think he's going to have a great season. But it's a matter of value in your draft. What do you have to give up to get him? I like other wide receivers better. I would rather have Ridley. And then Tyler Lockett is still a real true go-to option here. I know he's dead to everybody because of his inconsistency, but he did finish the season as the wide receiver 9 inconsistently. But that second half that you talk about, Mike, that I brought up where Russell Wilson sucked the second half, was good the first half. In the second half of the season, this does not include Tyler Lockett's crazy number 1 finish game. Tyler Lockett was the wide receiver 22, and DK Metcalf was the wide receiver 25. So the gap
there. That's what I
mean.
They both kind of fell off in the second half.
Yeah.
The gap on the totality is so much different than the performance.
For sure. And I would never say that Tyler Lockett
five straight weeks outside the top 47 is a problem.
Absolutely. Tyler Lockett both of these guys really weren't good for you the second half of the year. And if I have to say and make a bet, like, who's going to become the go-to guy, it's clearly Metcalf. But I would rather take a shot in the sixth round on Tyler Lockett.
Is Gerald Everett sneaky at the tight end position?
Certainly.
He's a wonderfully sneaky streaming option. I don't think he's going to be able to be with this run first team that has a clear one and two receiving option. I don't think he's going to be a weekly locked in guy.
They do use multiple tight ends. They've done it for years. I think Will Disley may exist right now just to disrupt anybody else from being too relevant at the spot for Seattle. The Greg Olsen hopes of last year did not come to fruition. But Everett at least has some youth and some juice.
Well, here's what's interesting about Gerald Everett, because people are out there. They're excited for Irv Smith from the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, I have noticed that.
Who is – it's funny that you have very similar situations here, right? You have a coaching staff that would prefer to be the run-first team. Mm-hmm. You have a team that has a clear one and two in wide receivers, so they can't possibly jump up to be the second option in the passing game. But I would bet if you had to say which quarterback is going to throw 40-plus touchdowns, everybody's going to put the money on to Russell Wilson. So the difference in scenario is not that different, but to me, for those players. On top of that, the new OC, it was the former passing game coordinator for the Los Angeles Rams, and Gerald Everett has that athletic profile that you go after for a late round tight end. So
Gerald Everett's a 91st percentile athlete, so where Irv Smith is a 28th percentile athlete.
Yeah,
I mean, I think there's some fatigue with Everett.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, and that's where you find value in fantasy, is oftentimes with veterans who you're fatigued on.
Yes, because you let somebody else do the running and carrying Gerald Everett for all those years where he wasn't producing. You get tired and fall over. You're like, okay, I'll take Gerald Everett on my team, please.
It's hard because the narrative with Everett has always been, you know, he was the first real pick of Sean McVay, and he's an offensive mastermind. So what's going to happen in another place where he said, I don't want you anymore?
We go from Goff to Russell Wilson. I think that's the hope.
That's a bit of an upgrade. And my point was simply late round tight end, athleticism, and betting on a high touchdown total for that team. And maybe the variance hits and Gerald Everett ends up with 8 or 9 receiving touchdowns.
We need to move forward. We need to move on to the Rams. They were 10-6 last year. They were 4-4-1 score games, the Goff effect, as we'll call it. And they bring in Matthew Stafford to headline this offense. The final 3 plays of Jared Goff's career in Los Angeles was an incomplete pass, a negative three-yard completion, and then another incompletion, and then a sack. And that was the end of the ball game. And Sean McVay said, that is the end of your tenure here. We cannot go further without a different quarterback. And that's, you know, 22nd in points per game last year. That is not a Sean McVay stat that they're proud of. Efficiency in the red zone was an issue. So Sean McVay wants a balanced attack, but this offense did look a little bit nicer with Cam Akers in the backfield. I think we all agree that Akers is a better, more talented runner than Daryl Henderson is. And losing that is going to hurt.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure. I do think where it helps is on the passing game. I believe that Sean McVay will use the talent that he has on the roster, the fact that they traded a ton to go get Matthew Stafford, and now they lost their primary guy in Cam Akers. I think they're going to have to do a little bit more with the passing game. I love what that means for Tyler Higbee. I love what that means for even Van Jefferson as the third wide receiver option. But I have bumped up most of these Rams receivers just a little bit post the Cam Akers injury.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that you have to remember with the Rams, as excited as you can get with their offense, like, this was a 10-6 team that wasn't good in one-score games but still made the playoffs and still knocked off the Seahawks. And the reason for that was they have the best defense in football, the number one in points against. So they don't necessarily have to do what other teams have to do on offense to have success. I think that they want a quarterback that's going to be more trustworthy in close games, but that doesn't mean that they're going to have to go out there and set the world on fire and be one of the top passing teams in the league. 12th in pass attempts last year, 7th in rushing attempts. So that identity was seen through the McVay offense on the field last year. They added DeSean Jackson this offseason. Malcolm Brown is gone. Goff, like I said, Josh Reynolds is gone. Everett is gone. So let's start with Stafford, and then we'll get into the passing weapons. Jason brought Matthew Stafford up on his bounce back episode. He has had a lot of fantasy relevant games in recent years, but he hasn't had a fantasy relevant season since 2017. Is this the year that that changes, or are there so many other fantasy quarterbacks that it's just not worth the story?
I think there's just so many others that Stafford is going to be an elite streaming option. Now, right now, he's not being drafted as a streamer. He's up at the quarterback 11, which is higher than I have him ranked. You brought it up, Andy. They're not going to always have to throw the ball a ton. They have the best defense in the league. So I think that's going to take the baseline down a little bit, where you're not going to have week in and week out just throwing for 350 and three touchdowns, because there's no reason to put him dropping back 50 times in a game. But with this offense, with the weapons, with Sean McVay, you're going to have some of those explosive games. So I see him as one of the best streaming options for midseason, not so much a great draft pick, especially I believe they start the season with Chicago and the Colts, two solid defenses.
Yeah,
but the rest
same.
Of the first half schedule is very nice. What do you think the win total is? Vegas has the win total for the Rams.
They had, what did you say, the Seahawks were 10?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would go 11.5.
Really? I'll go 10.
10.5. Okay. 10.5 for the Rams. You mentioned the passing game. You mentioned Tyler Higbee. I love Tyler Higbee this year. I agree with you on that. Tyler Higbee, to me, is...
post-hype sleeper.
Post-hype sleeper. He is also the proven Troutman, okay? Because one of the reasons Mike loves...
Yeah, but that's so boring.
One of the reasons he likes Troutman is because Josh Hill and Jared Cook have departed. Well, Tyler Higbee has had elite performances on an NFL field both last year and the year before. That amazing finish. Look, I didn't like Higbee last year to be a consistent tight end because I felt like there were too many options in the offense and at the tight end position. Those have departed. Gerald Everett demanded targets in this offense, and Higbee, with the connection with Matthew Stafford, somebody that can provide some value, I just have more confidence that you're going to see consistency from Tyler Higbee, and he could be very, very sneaky as a late-round tight end that you can lock into your lineup.
I've said this pretty much every single mock draft we've done. If I don't get one of those main three guys, Higbee's my primary target because you get him so late. He costs you nothing, and he should be a solid producer at wide receiver versus getting those fifth-round, sixth-round, seventh-round tight ends where I'm still giving up a good wide receiver in those rounds. Those guys aren't going to be any better than Higbee.
By the way, we didn't talk about the running backs because we talked about them at length in the news segment. Yep. So if you fast-forwarded, you came to the Rams, go back to the news. We talked all about the
awesome.
Cam Akers injury.
How dare you fast-forward this show?
Look, people do what they want with podcasts, Mike.
Yeah, but you don't
they have
get
all
the,
sorts of control.
You don't get the full experience.
Listen, some people slow-mo your voice.
They don't even know.
They make you sound like you're drunk.
They don't even know that awesome joke they missed.
That's true. Most people.
The bypass joke?
Maybe. Go back and listen.
So, but Mike, do you agree on Higbee? And then what do you, give me a lay of the land with Woods, Kupp, and then Van Jefferson or DeSean Jackson.
Right.
What do you think of the passing weapons?
I don't mind taking the shot there on Tyler Higbee. You are right that he is far more proven than a player who has done absolutely nothing in the NFL. And I mean, coming into last season, I was excited for Tyler Higbee. I was excited at what happened at the end of the season when Gerald Everett was out. So I have absolutely no qualms with your
adoration,
your impassioned love for Higbee, who also ended up higher in my projections than I thought. I think all three of us
that was
had,
part of what started this is I was just surprised.
All three of us had that realization independently of we went in, started doing our projections for the UDK, and it's like, oh, okay, Tyler Higbee, I see you.
Yeah,
I see you up there.
Currently top 10 for all three of us. Mike has him at 9, Andy and I at 8.
If you have to draft a Rams wide receiver, do you prefer Robert Woods in the end of the 4th or Cooper Kupp at the end of the 5th? Because you save around. And I don't know if I view these guys very different.
No, it would be the value on Kupp. And
is that
you know,
same for you, Mike?
Probably. I mean, you had the weird touchdown regression. I mean, like, it really hit Cooper Kupp hard going from 10 receiving touchdowns in 2019 all the way down to 3.
He was watching the DJ Moore tape.
Yeah.
And he got himself 4 touchdowns.
It really is solely about the draft cost here. If these guys were right next to each other and they were both on the clock and I had to choose one, I would probably lean towards Woods. But it's so close that a round difference makes a huge, you know, imagine you can get, instead of Robert Woods, you can draft DJ Moore, who's going in the 4th right next to him. You could draft CeeDee Lamb in the 5th, where you've got Cooper Kupp going. You're going to be drafting Tyler Lockett is right next
to him.
Oh, wow.
So Lockett, like, or Kupp?
Would you rather have, right, would you rather have Kupp and DJ Moore or Lockett and Robert Woods? And I'd rather have the DJ Moore and Cooper Kupp.
Okay, I mean, that makes sense. It's funny because Woods is so solid, but Cooper Kupp had that start to the year like a year and a half ago where it looked like we were about to anoint him one of the elite fantasy wideouts, and I can't get that out of my head, saying, oh, wow, Cooper Kupp is winning weeks for people. Like, Robert Woods, he's along for the ride on the win most of the weeks. Like, he helps you.
He's a role player.
But he's a role player.
For your fantasy team.
Cooper Kupp looked like he was ready to take the leap and really went backwards on the touchdown totals. But let's move on to the Cardinals. A spectacular 8-8 season last year. What? It was tough. I mean, they beat Seattle. They had the Hopkins catch against Buffalo where they took out the Bills. But then they lost gimme games against Detroit, Carolina. They are an offense that finished statistically very high in all major categories, total yards, points per game, pace of play, rush attempts. And yet, bittersweet as a fan of the Cardinals, but this is fantasy football. And what's your outlook for the offense in a very tough division again? Because Vegas has them at
500, so that, what would that be, 8.5 this year?
It's 8.5.
There you go.
Yeah.
In this division, you can't put them. They're a good team, but you can't put them higher than 3. And you could easily put them 4th in this division.
Put them 4.
So, what? It's not fair. Come on.
It's not.
Other NFL divisions, get it together.
When's the last time they shook up the divisions? You know, it's like of the whole NFL.
I select the AFC South.
The reality is, with this offense, the number one most important thing to me is the pace of play. They were the second fastest. You get so many more plays every single game over the course of the season. It's just fantastic for fantasy. You add a mobile quarterback in Kyler Murray who can, scramble and make things happen. I think this is a team where you want to invest in offensive pieces.
No Kenyon Drake. He's gone, but they added James Conner, A.J. Green, and drafted Rondale Moore, very electric weapon that will really help Kyler. Isn't an option, I think, that anybody's looking for in year one.
No, not yet.
In Arizona, with what they have, a wide receiver with Christian Kirk, DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green will be out there, and then Rondale Moore will fit into that offense. But speaking of the offensive weapons, let's start with Kyler. He's a late 4th-round pick right now, the quarterback 4 off the board. He hurt his shoulder down the stretch, but he cannot bust. I would say Kyler Murray cannot bust short of injury. As a rookie, number 7 overall, last year, number 2, despite an end-of-year injury that limited him.
And really, he was the number 1 through the first 16 weeks.
So you look at that and you say, well, the number 1 through the first 16 weeks, going at QB4, the same consistency of the offense. What can go wrong for Kyler here? I mean, you have you look at the passing game and you go, well, what if his pass? Oh, you got DeAndre Hopkins out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think what could go wrong is injury. I mean, that's it. And that's fine with me from a fantasy perspective, because you're not going to play him if he's injured. If he misses games, it's just whatever. You move on and that stinks, but you can still stream the position at quarterback. While he's out there, he was so far and away better than everyone before his injury last season. I mean, he didn't have a single week until week 12, that injury, where he was outside the top 12. That's not consistent. That's 100%. You are always one of the best quarterbacks to play last season, and he's coming into his 3rd year. You saw that leap for Josh Allen going into his third year. He was, his rookie year, I think he was in the low threes for touchdown percentage. He got up to league average last year. If he throws a higher touchdown percentage than league average, which I think Kyler can do that in year three with this receiving core, you're going to have a great option. I've been taking Kyler whenever he slips into the fifth round.
I guess the example would be something like Lamar, right? I mean, Lamar coming into last year looked automatic, was a difficult ride for 11 sure. weeks in the offense. So things happen. Players don't always pan out the way you think they will. But if you run the football, you kind of move up that floor every single week to where it's hard to, you know, you certainly never have to stream somebody else. Like, he's locked into your lineup.
Yeah, the difference between Lamar is that is a Hopkins. Slow...
Yeah, Hopkins is the difference.
Well, and the pace of play. The slow pace of the Ravens, the slow, you know, the low volume of passing, that's not what they have in Arizona.
That's a good point. We don't have to talk too much about the wide receivers unless you guys are drafting them. Is there anybody outside of DeAndre Hopkins that you're drafting late?
I'd rather be dead than draft AJ
Which is
Green.
An incredible statement, right? Because if you're talking about a middle-of-the-road Rams team with Stafford, and you're looking at potentially three pass-catching options in Higbee, Woods, and Kupp, maybe a fourth in Van Jefferson late, and then you just talked all about the offense and how great they are in Arizona, pace of play, more plays, and you draft DeAndre Hopkins, and then you're saying, I'd rather be dead than touch another pass catcher.
DeAndre Hopkins' target market share is and always has been outlandishly high among the three or four most targeted players in the NFL every single season. So with Robert Woods and Cooper Kupp, they're sharing that load. Here it's like it all goes to Hopkins.
But is there at least a possibility that A.J. Green isn't completely
dust
yet? I mean, you got to leave. It looked like it, but you got to leave the option open. Arizona clearly does not think he is. They gave him a lot of money for a short-term contract. And, yes, Hopkins is going to command 27-plus percent of the targets. But what if A.J. Green is at, like, 22% of the targets? We haven't seen that happen yet for a Kyler Murray secondary wide receiver.
Jason doesn't want to talk about this.
It just means that the offense is bad. If he gets 20% of the targets, that means that the offense isn't moving.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to sit here and have another offseason debating the merits of A.J. Green's potential. Last year he came out and he was a disaster for fantasy owners.
Christian Kirk would actually be the player I would take a shot on personally. If you want to say there's going to be a wide receiver two that emerges, I would rather put it there.
That's fine. And that's a very viable opinion. If you think that A.J. Green has manipulated the Cardinals into a foolish signing on his name alone, then you go with somebody with youth and upside. I don't think he's completely done, Mike. I think that he could be a touchdown valuable player in Arizona. People want to talk about last year's separation totals. You go back and look at every elite year that A.J. Green's ever had, at least the metrics that the NFL tracks, he's not an elite separator, neither right. is Allen Robinson. He goes and gets the ball in contested space, which is what the red zone's all about. It's a lot better situation than it was last year, passer-wise.
He doesn't have to be the number one on the team. He's going in basically the 16th round.
I don't think eight touchdowns is out of the equation for A.J. Green starting every snap.
Yeah, I'm definitely not caping for A.J. Green.
No, you can be that guy this year.
But he is definitely on my list of
most important must draft players. That's your list, AJ.
Sure,
number one.
All right, let's move on to the running backs here in Arizona, because we can't leave without that's a debate, that's a discussion. Chase Edmonds, James Conner. Right now, Edmonds going in the sixth round, Conner in the ninth round. Both of them outside the top 24. Again, for a great offense where a very I would say sluggish-looking Kenyon Drake still produced for fantasy by the season's end. How do people go about making this decision? James Conner right now looks – obviously, he's the better value. I just don't know what that means in this offense. I guess you're betting on they get around the goal line and James Conner takes the ball.
Yeah, for me, Arizona, the running back situation, I mean, you can go back – to the early offseason, and I was very bearish on Chase Edmonds because everybody had – he was
– anointed.
He was the hype man of a particular season or month or so during the off season, and then they had James Conner, who people are way off of James Conner. They speaking of dust, fantasy football players think that James Conner is dust, and him coming in proves absolutely no competition to Chase Edmonds. But now that we're getting closer to actual redraft season, and Chase Edmonds is in the sixth round, now I'm interested. Like, where things were going in the early offseason, I thought Chase Edmonds would end up in the fourth round.
He was already in the fifth.
He might end up in the back of the third, but his ADP held. So now I am actually interested. Of these two guys, Edmonds and James Conner, Chase Edmonds is the one who has the juice. Great friend of the show, J.J. Zacharyson, recently did an entire study looking at if there is a pair of running backs being drafted in the middle rounds, the hit rate of the first running back, it has been a tremendous success.
The first one that goes.
Yes.
Not taking the perceived value.
Not taking the value. The hit rate of us selecting the first running back in the ADP has been a tremendous hit rate for fantasy football. So that new study brought to light the fact that his ADP didn't get out of control. And the starting running back for Arizona, like Kenyon Drake, was considered a disappointment last year on ADP alone. He helped fantasy football teams, but he was drafted in the back of the first. If you get something close to what Drake did last year in the sixth round, that would be one of the biggest steals of the draft.
The only thing I'll say here is that people should remember Chase Edmonds finished weeks as a top 10 fantasy player multiple times with five or fewer carries. So he had a number 8 overall finish with 3 attempts. He had a number 8 overall finish with 5 attempts. He had a 14 finish with 2 attempts. So he did it entirely in the passing game or one big play to speak to the juice that you're talking about. So
the hard part for that, though,
it's hard to see him having fewer opportunities this year.
Right. But can you just extrapolate out, well, you give Chase Edmonds way more volume, he's going to be great. And
never. You can never do that.
The Cardinals staff might know, no, that does not work for Chase Edmonds. So they went after James Conner, who is a much bigger bodied bruiser. And
don't say bruise. Yeah. You got to be careful with James Conner.
James Conner, who to start the season was
he's hurt. Yeah,
was
he just got
actually
hurt, you saying that.
He was very, very good for fantasy football for the first half of the season.
Edmonds, on a personal level, I think is one of the hardest workers and most one of the smartest running backs in the game of football. So on a level of like wanting to get better going into this season, having flashed multiple times in multiple seasons, I think he's definitely more interesting now than he has been any time this offseason.
I agree completely. I just really want to keep him out of the fifth round because it right. really is a gigantic difference. You're talking about we talked about Cooper Kupp and Tyler Lockett. In the sixth round, you're talking about T. Higgins and Odell Beckham, who's, you know, I won't be drafting him. So there I would be in on Chase Edmonds. Get a piece of this team. Get a piece of the offense. Get the pass catching work. And get the one that isn't necessarily always injured. Because if you're talking about ceiling between these guys, one of them getting injured would vault the other one up.
Certainly. But James Conner, when on the field, has been effective. And I know we're a ways past that season where he took over for Le'Veon Bell and he was incredible. But meanwhile, Chase Edmonds has one carry inside the five in his entire career.
Yeah, no doubt. And just to put a bow on this, we got to move on to the 49ers. I told you it'd be a longer show. But
people love it.
But the discussion on James Conner's success is founded in his fantasy production last year, not in what the team perceived, what free agency necessarily perceived in James Conner, right? Not a lot of competition this offseason. Didn't get a workhorse role, and the Steelers moved on, right? And they drafted a first-round running back because they weren't happy with their eyeballs with James Conner. And I think that is important to know because he's moving to a different stage of his career as complement, not primary.
Yeah, I mean, he in that breakout season, he played 13 games, and then it was 10, and then it was he appeared in 13 games in 2020. He was, you know,
like a vapor.
In week one, he missed almost the whole game, which could have been injury related. So I can't argue that James Conner is going to be on the field for 17 games, but this is certainly a training camp battle that could monumentally shift ADPs of these players.
Yeah, or be just like a fantasy football nightmare if you get the wrong guy and then on week one, the other one gets a ton of work.
I will say this.
They like both guys. You're
I will
right.
say this. I've been thinking about this, ruminating more and more. I don't hate drafting both of these players.
That's how I feel.
Are you trying to hit the what button?
What?
Generally speaking, I do hate that. I don't want to cap my upside of two players, two running backs from the same core on the same team. They can't touch the ball at the exact same time. But go into week one and you find out it's actually James Conner who's the Kenyon Drake role, and he's going to see 200-plus carries and a bunch of goal line work, and you have an offensive line, massive upgrade of the offensive line. I'm not mad at this.
Rodney Hudson, the addition at center. I can't do it. I just can't. Because I think that the team wants both guys to contribute, and I'm afraid of going into week one, and then both guys are just out on the field, and it's perfectly even, and then you're like, you never know when to start.
But a six-round pick, I'm willing to do that for Chase Edmonds. And then your ninth. You're willing to go 6-9? You're already – oh, that's nice. But you're already in the range where you're grabbing at sleepers in the ninth round.
Okay. But, again, it's the decision-making process that's painful. I've been there in the backfield.
It could end up as a headache.
Here's the policy, Mike. You do it, but you are required contractually to cut one after week one to make the decision and then not have the choice so that you don't feel pain. All right, the 49ers, 6-10 last year. Injuries, injuries, injuries. That was the story for the 49ers.
And they still won
the
six games.
Second most injured team over the past two decades.
Whew, I felt it.
According to the Football Outsiders adjusted games lost metric, they look, we've made the kind of tongue-in-cheek comments about the training staff or the field they play on. Like, that is all based in the tough luck that they've had and, like, kind of rolling your eyes going, when can they get everybody healthy? Because when they're healthy, they're great.
Yeah, they need an exorcist.
They are the first team in history to lose their starting quarterback and the top six offensive producers at the same time. That is like you don't have a team. We've deleted your team.
Yeah.
And you get replacement players now. That is wild. Most players cycled through an active roster since 1966. So you have every right statistically to throw out everything that happened in 2020.
Yes.
Current win total for them is going to blow your mind for Vegas.
Really?
No, because I bet it's
I think it would 10?
Yeah, it's double digits.
10.5.
Yep.
Now, the reason it blows my mind is that is the division lead. That's tied for...
No, someone else was 10.5. Didn't you say the Rams
right,
were 10.5?
I said okay. They're tied for okay, the division okay. lead. So, you know, Arizona is at the basement. Then you have two 10.5 and one... I believe 10, right? With
that's what you said for Seattle.
10.5, 10.5, 10, and 8.5. So there isn't a team currently projected.
Like I said,
below
500. When's the last time we shook up these divisions? You know, come on, let's spice it up.
Yeah, let's make some trades. You should be able to include division swaps in trades. Could we do that?
Yes, please.
But coming into the year, there are a lot of question marks on this team for fantasy purposes because you kind of throw out what happened last year. You know and trust Kyle Shanahan. They ran the ball more in neutral game scripts than anybody in football. That's part of the identity, right? And you can do it with various weapons and have success. Whether it was the fourth or fifth running back up, they still had success in the running game. You don't have Tevin Coleman or Jerick McKinnon, who were parts of that last year. You did add Wayne Gallman. You did draft Trey Sermon. You have Raheem Mostert coming back. You have Jeff Wilson, who's injured and will eventually come back. How do you possibly see through the muck and make the right investment in what you know is a great running team?
I think you see through the muck by taking the clear leader.
High above the mucky muck.
High above the mucky muck. Yeah, I mean, you take the clear leader here, who is Raheem Mostert. He's at a value in the sixth round. I mean, if you're telling me... We just, you know, waxed eloquent on the value of Chase Edmonds in the sixth. If I had to choose between Raheem Mostert and Chase Edmonds, I'm definitely going Mostert, a guy who has dominated in spurts on the field.
Right, but
I don't feel enthusiasm towards Raheem Mostert, which was reflected in his ADP.
Well, if you want to go back to the other argument, you were clowning on the guy in the ninth round, James Conner. because he's hurt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you want Raheem Mostert.
Well, look, the reality is all NFL players,
for the stars, Mike.
All NFL players can get injured. And when I was talking about James Conner's injuries, more in the advantage for probability of a larger workload for Chase Edmonds. Here,
like last 3 years, who's played more games, James Conner or Raheem Mostert?
Oh, that's not. I don't think that's fair though, because his ascension, Mostert's ascension was far after James Conner.
No, his ascension was in 2018.
I'm going to guess James Conner.
Yeah, it's James
because Conner. I see your trap.
Yeah, right now, Mostert is behind Chase Edmonds into the sixth round. We talked to Kyle Juszczyk on the show. High hopes and expectations for Raheem Mostert.
I'll tell you this, Kyle. If you got high hopes for Mostert and you're talking about Garoppolo as the quarterback, and then we get rope-a-doped, and it's Trey Sermon and Trey Lance.
Well,
we got beef.
Let me just say, first four games that Raheem Mostert played last year, projected over 17 weeks, is 1,287 rushing yards, 51 targets with 46 receptions. So, you know, about 8-9 total touchdowns on a really good team. So you do need to make an investment on a team that could run the football 500 times. And I think Trey Sermon's an appropriate investment too.
Yep.
And people are starting to get that. He's up into the eighth round now. So he is their future. Like, Mostert is not going to be there after this year. Is that a fair?
I see Mostert in Dynasty as a one-year rental. I think that you will have a solid year, and then you will never get another game started on a fantasy roster.
I think there's a chance that Mostert is not there this year. I think there's a chance. Trade?
That's silly.
I would be.
I think there have been some rumors.
Away. There have been rumors of trading.
I think there
Raheem
have been
Mostert?
Some rumors. Yep. You know who could use him?
Yeah, the problem.
The
is
Rams.
You're in division.
Yeah, I know you can't do that. But no, there have been some rumors. He is by far the most explosive, the most experienced.
Yeah.
So if you put those two things together, he's your best bet. But you need to stay healthy. Again, it permeates into the wide receiver core as well. Deebo, Ayuk, and then George Kittle all dealt with injuries last year. Ayuk is going a round and a half ahead of Deebo Samuel. Is that the guy you'd take?
Yes.
It is for me, too. I think they're both appropriately priced.
I mentioned it in previous shows, but I am being swayed that direction now.
Into Ayuk?
Yes. You know, I've been a very strong Deebo apologist, and I still view him independently of Ayuk as a potential value in the late seventh. But if you're asking me to choose between the two at their current gap, I will choose Brandon Ayuk because I think that the clock could be running out for Deebo to, like, you're not going to game plan around a guy that keeps getting hurt.
If
it happens again, he may never get that shot.
If you rewind the clock a decade, year three breakouts for wide receivers was a real thing, and that's not the case. It's year two. You want to target in your middle rounds year two wide receivers. And Brandon Ayuk was great when
he already broke out.
I mean, yeah, you can argue he already broke out. So now going into year two, I think he's a great target for where he doesn't cost you a lot. You're not giving up an absolute all-star option in the sixth round to take a shot at a guy who could really, you know, level up and become the leader of this offense, because right now there isn't one. When your tight end is the passing game leader in George Kittle, there is an opportunity for you to truly become an elite wide receiver fantasy option. And I think that
there are,
exists with Ayuk.
Yeah, and I feel like we're talking about the wide receiver core and the pass catchers kind of in a vacuum, right? There are some things to be, I think, concerned about.
For Ayuk?
For any of them consistency-wise, which is like Ayuk made the most of opportunities target share-wise, right? George Kittle wasn't on the field. Deebo Samuel wasn't on the field. But you are going to have potential quarterback controversy in transition this year. That is something that other players don't have. This is a team that, you know, you play in a division with a bunch of very good teams that you're going to face, right? Six games in division, and then you have a potential transition. You either have Jimmy G or you have a transition to Trey Lance. And you still have George Kittle, who demands more than I think Ayuk will demand in the offense. So I'm just trying to bring up the things that will that could disturb the Ayuk breakout year two.
I was going to say that the devil's advocate to Brandon Ayuk is sure, he had 5 weeks as a top 12 guy. I mean, he was on his run. Brandon Ayuk was winning people fantasy weeks off of the waiver wire. But Debo was gone. George Kittle was gone. Like,
well, when Debo came back, 13 targets, 9 targets in the two games that he was healthy coming back. So the second he returned to that offense, he compiled 22 targets
Debo
in two games. Debo did.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, when he came back, they gave a lot of offense to him.
Yeah, yeah. That's Ayuk did it well while he was the number one guy. But that's also – it's tough because you're like, well, what if all the targets go somewhere else? But I think that the check mark is Brandon Ayuk proving his draft capital, proving to his head coach, you want me to be the guy? I can be the guy for this offense and carry.
All right. Like I said, they start the season Detroit, Philadelphia, both games on the road. 10.5 is what Vegas has them at. This is maybe the hardest one to answer this question we've had so far. NFC West.
Also for George Kittle at the back of the second round, we're all in on that.
100%.
Yeah, 2-3 turn is great. Yep.
Yeah,
just do it.
Just do it. Who wins the division? Make your prediction.
The Rams.
I believe the Rams win the division.
I think it's the Rams, but I think the 49ers are
sneaky.
It's real sneaky.
Toughest player to project in the entire division. Most difficult. I'm going to say Matthew Stafford. I don't know
what
the identity of that team is going to be.
And I mean the stones for a franchise to say have had the success that the Rams have had. They were just in the Super Bowl. They were 10-6. You say it's franchise quarterback hit the bricks.
It's the Case Keenum Minnesota situation. Like, they had just gone 13-3 with Case Keenum or whatever it was, won a playoff game, and then they said, look, we're going to bring in Kirk Cousins because we can't get over the hump without somebody different.
Yeah. For me, it's Trey Sermon because of the fact that he's a rookie coming in, and then you're going to have Jeff Wilson come back.
That's tough.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to do with Trey Sermon for redraft.
Sneakiest player for 2021 from the division.
Tutu Atwell.
No.
It's not.
But he does, just checking, he does come in at 1-2-2 on the dot.
Weight-wise.
In fact, always, no matter what.
Right.
No matter what his weight, he's always 1-2-2.
Always. It's his teammate for me. I absolutely love
it's
Van
like a stable
Jefferson.
Coin.
Van Jefferson is by far my favorite sneaky.
That's your sneaky one?
I love Van Jefferson.
Yeah, I just don't see it. So I don't love you.
No, I get it. I get it. But Josh Reynolds was involved, is gone.
Debo as my sneakiest.
I'll go Tyler Lockett as the wide receiver 24.
You know what? That's a pretty good one. That's a pretty good one indeed, Mike. I really respect you and not Jason.
Thank you.
Oh, me too.
Next show's on Saturday.
Oh, man.
Check out the Ultimate Draft Kit at UltimateDraftKit.com. I know, these divisions, they're so long.
Woo.
But football is coming. Brooks is ready as he can be. Talk to you on Saturday.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.